Blog Talk Radio.
Batting down the hatches, you're probably saying 8 o'clock, moving the chains. With Mark Mancini in Los Angeles and Danielle Orsino in soon-to-be New York, but right now in Charlotte. What's going on? Well, I'll tell you, the other show's on vacation, so we took this time slot, a novel beginning with Danielle Orsino and Chelsea Rice. So this week we're at the 8 o'clock primetime, 5 o'clock drive home in Los Angeles, back to regularly scheduled next week, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. 347-205-9631. Boy, you guys follow us religiously. You're packed into the houses over 100 right now. We appreciate it. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. And before I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place and hand off the mic to Danielle. Philadelphia, WWDB, we will... be back on that great station. June 6th, Danielle Orsino coming in, so she'll be in there holding the fort down that Sal Tartaglia had and Marianne and myself, so it should be a good one. Three's Company, and I kind of feel like John Ritter. We'll find out who Joyce DeWitt and Suzanne Summers is, but that's a story for another day. Danielle, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, the Philadelphia thing's exciting. You coming aboard, and not only that, look at the NFL. Where the draft is on its way, too.
I'm super excited. I can't wait for Philly. I'm very excited to, I guess, bring some New York Giant attitude to Philly. That's what I'm really excited about, Mark, and I'm sure the Philly fans can't wait for my little attitude. But everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And, yes, there is a lot going on right now because we have an arrest warrant. So for those of you who don't know, it looks like Chiefs Rashee Rice, yes, they've finally, Dallas police have finally issued an arrest warrant for that big crash that happened. It was stemming from a chain reaction collision with his Lamborghini. It was a rented Lamborghini, so, you know, even though you win the Super Bowl, you don't buy the Lamborghini just yet. He was racing a Corvette, and it involved four other vehicles. It left four people with minor injuries. Now, a couple of weeks ago when this originally went down, he fled the scene, and then it was like, was he driving? Did somebody take the car? This happened on March 30th. It was like a back-and-forth thing. And then last week he issued an apology, and he was like, yes, okay, I was driving. But people were like, oh, they're not going to, like, issue a warrant. This won't be a big deal. A couple hours ago, actually, not even maybe like an hour ago, they actually did issue the warrant. So we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on here. I mean, dude, you just won the Super Bowl. Like, why do you go and do dumb things? But he did. The other guy, Theodore Knox, 21, was determined to have been driving the Vette. There is a warrant for his arrest as well. He'll be facing the same 8 counts. So, Rice, you're in trouble. That's all. This is one of those Whoopi Goldberg, girl, you in danger moments from Ghost. I don't know what to say to you, but you had a promising career, and I think it's over, baby. So, you know, we'll see what happens. This is still a developing story. I don't have all the info yet, but, you know, at least – there were not major injuries. There were all minor injuries. The one who got hurt the most was the Lamborghini. So, you know, we'll see what happens. The Chiefs have not issued a statement. They said that they're going to let the NFL and the Dallas Police Department do their job and investigate it. And then from there, they will take it into their own hands. I don't really know what that means, which means we're just going to kind of sit back and say nothing. Unfortunately, we have another arrest. We have former Ravens linebacker Terrell Suggs. He was arrested following an incident at Starbucks. This is apparently stemming from a March 10th incident outside of Starbucks. Disorderly conduct, threatening and intimidating with a weapon. So, yeah, now he's in trouble, too. I don't know. But anybody who knows Suggs, he was, you know, a seven-time Pro Bowler. He was named 2011 AP Defensive Player of the Year. You know, he's basically the cheerleader for the Ravens. And he apparently allegedly threatened to kill the victim, brandished a handgun. I don't know. Apparently, don't go to Starbucks on an empty stomach and not get coffee. You tend to get a little upset. I got nothing on this. I don't know. I have no idea what started it. Nobody else is saying anything. But, okay, just like I said, don't get in between Terrell Suggs and his Starbucks. What else do you want me to say on that one, Mark? I got nothing.
Well, you bring up some interesting things, and we've seen this dog and pony show play out. The other interesting news is after the traditional opener for the Super Bowl champs on that Thursday, Friday we'll find ourselves in São Paulo, Brazil. The Packers will play the Eagles, first time since 70 that, you know, we're going to find a game out like this, foreign country here. Gosh almighty, São Paulo, Brazil, the Eagles are designated as the home team. Is that crazy or what?
I'm not sure. I'll be honest. I don't know how I feel about this. And I know, you know, people are probably going to get on me for it and bring it. I just feel like there's two feelings on this. One, yes, you can't call yourself like world champions if we only play in the U.S. But, you know, we only play the U.S. But at the end of the day, we're just going out of the country. We're not playing other teams. We're just going to São Paulo. So, you know, great. But what does this do to the teams? Like, you're making them travel to Brazil, then they're coming back. Like, I just feel like you said, this is another, like, horse and pony show that Miguel is doing just for money. Like, how does this really help the NFL? Like, really, like, help the players? All this is doing is lining the pockets of Goodell. It's not doing anything for the players. Like, what does it do for them? It just tires them out. I don't see the point to this, I guess. Like, yay? You know, are we even going to be able to watch this, or is this going to be another?
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem I have. Now, you're going to New York in a few weeks. You can cover the Philadelphia games because, you know, with the press passes, you're part of a Philadelphia radio station now. I think the people of Philly, the people that cover it, and the people who are Green Bay fans that are living in that city get screwed. If you're going to do this kind of thing, and I said this years ago, you're going to start pulling this kind of crap, then you need to do preseason games or something over there, because I think you know the people get screwed of seeing the city. I mean, I'm sure there's guys on Green Bay that have ties to Philadelphia or the state of Pennsylvania now that can't even go. They're playing in Brazil. Yeah, it's fun, well and dandy, but somebody gets screwed in this. The season ticket holder now gets a game short. I mean, you see where I'm going at this?
Well, if you're gonna do it, do it
a preseason game. Don't affect your division games because everybody wants to see the Cowboys in Philly, the Skins, the Giants, but don't do this when teams are coming in once every so often. Do a preseason game when nobody really gives a damn.
Just found out the game will stream exclusively on Peacock. It will also air free for local markets only. And the game will be on NFL Plus. So here we go again. You're screwing us again, Goodell. How about you just take me out to dinner first before I bend over? Because what you're doing is it's exclusively on Peacock. This is going to be another $5 game. Or no, you're going to make me have to sign up for Peacock to get it once again. And it's a regular season game. So on Friday, Friday night on the first week, I can't watch the Eagles and the Packers because I got to go sign up for Peacock, and they're going to be in Brazil. It's just BS. Like, I'm so tired.
Yeah, well, I said that before. Just tell me you want to buy me a martini. You just want to go to bed right now. Let's cut to the chase. Is that what your intentions are? Just be honest and tell me what your intentions are before, you know, I call you for what you really are. And that's the problem here. When you look at the NFL, you say to yourself, why are these games being over there? I have no problem with that. Right, but milk the preseason games. If these fans are hungry for football, then give them all the preseason games they want. okay? Send them down to Mexico City. Send them to Toronto. Send them to London. Send them all over. Don't screw with the guy that's paying the tab to get screwed, because the Green Bay Packers now probably won't come to Philadelphia for another few years. The only thing that would be worse than this is if an AFC team came into Philadelphia and you were sending them to London like this. I mean, I still don't understand the whole Jaguars thing going to London, because I think their fan base gets screwed every year because they got this thing over there where Khan keeps bringing them over there to play one home game a year in London, sometimes two. It's a joke. If you're not making money in the damn city, sell the damn team to a local investor so then you don't have to worry about traveling all over, or put your damn team in London. Let the NFL. It's crazy.
Because they're already billing the first Giants-Philly game as the revenge game of 2024. So does that mean,
right,
and I hate to say this, is Goodell going to go pull a fast one on us and sell it to Peacock? That's what I got to wonder, because he's just too swarmy. Is he going to turn around and take that game, because the schedule has not been made yet? Schedule is not out. Is he going to go and take that, pull it on a Thursday night game, or is he going to go and say, you know what, guys, this is going to be this game, and go and sell it to Peacock? Because he knows they're already billing it as a revenge game of the year. It's already billed as that. We haven't even gotten there, and
right,
the storyline's written. So are you going to go and sell it to Peacock for an ungodly amount of money and screw the rest of the markets? Because that's what Goodell is turning into. He might as well have gone to Vince McMahon and just said, let me take notes. Let me sit at the foot, Yoda, and just, written it out, because this is what it's turning into. It's turning into a show. What are you going to do? It's as bad as pay-per-view when you think about it, with Peacock and all these other ones. That's what you've turned football into, is pay-per-view. And I'm getting more annoyed with it, because now with, North Carolina has just allowed betting, FanDuel and all this. When I mean every other commercial is a betting commercial, every other commercial is a betting commercial. So I just feel like, what have we done to this sport? I now believe 110% that the refs should be full-time now, and that every call, when they all get together, should be transparent. I think we should hear everything, because it's just gone to that, and now you're telling me that all these games are on Peacock exclusively and all this BS. Goodell's got to go more than anything, and I will shout that from the rooftops. I don't care. If that means that we don't get active NFL guests, oh, well, I'm sorry. We're not going to toe the line. But this is it's gotten to be BS, and the fans are the ones that are suffering for it, and to an extent, the players. And that's where I have a problem with all this. You can't send these gladiators out, not give them the playing surface they need, and then pull this crap, because it's hurting them as well. And that's my feeling on it right now.
Well, no, I totally agree with you. That's a joke, man. I mean, it really is. I mean, you're screwing the fan base.
And then you're going to cut the NFL network down to nothing and say, oh, no, we're cutting back. What money are you cutting back? You're making more money than ever. And now I got to sit when I put on the NFL network and just see replays of the Super Bowl, because you've cut every single show. You fired some of the best guys, and they're gutting the NFL network. And you're sitting there going, we don't have any money. What money you got? You just sold San Paolo. You just sold all these games and to Peacock. And you're killing your network right now. I mean, what are you doing? You gutted Good Morning Football and took it out of New York to send it to, Los Angeles. You're taking all these guys. You're getting rid of jobs. You're firing all these people. And then you're sitting there calling poverty? Are you kidding me? I mean, what is going on there? So, no. And now, we got the draft coming up. And it's going to, Goodell's going to walk out there, because God forbid he doesn't get the first 10. I mean, at some point, let the fans make the announcements. I don't know why Goodell goes out there. Nobody likes you, but okay, get your 5 minutes, dude. And they're going to turn that into a huge thing. I used to like it when the draft was just the draft. Like, you just made the announcements without all the hoopla, but whatever. When is that going to just be exclusively on Peacock? Is that next year? Is that the next step to where we can't even watch the draft? It's getting ridiculous. As for the draft, I have no idea what's going to happen on it. I've gotten so many DMs from people asking me, what are the Giants going to do? What do you think is going to happen? I'm going to tell you guys honestly, I have no idea. This is the first draft that I can sit here and tell you guys 100%. I don't have a clue what's going to happen besides a quarterback going number one. That's all I got, Mark, because this draft is so confusing. All I have is Caleb Williams will be drafted. That is my big prediction, guys. Take that one to the bank. He's going to be drafted.
Well, I think he's going to be drafted by the Redskins. I think the Bears, he doesn't want no part of Chicago, so I think Chicago has to do something, wouldn't you say, Danielle?
I can't figure this out, because one minute they're mad that he's wearing pink nail polish. The next minute they're like, we love him so much, but he's immature. But, oh, my God, we love him. The next minute, Drake May is the worst thing in the world. J.J. McCarthy is horrible. I saw the most scathing review on J.J. McCarthy, and then he's the second coming of Christ, and Jaden Daniels is great. Then Malik, you know, is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I can honestly look at this draft and go, I have no idea. But with Stephon Diggs gone out of Buffalo, I am looking at the Bills going, you really need a wide receiver. That's about all I can say, is the Bills need to do something because they got nobody up there. And I don't know what else is happening there. I really look at the Raiders and think they're going to make a jump, but the Vikings might jump them first. And I don't think the Patriots have any idea what to do in their spot either. I think this year's draft is going to be an absolute guess. Besides the first two, that's all I got for you. Besides the Commanders getting a quarterback and the Bears getting a quarterback, after that, I don't know what's going to happen. I would love to give you some, like, big mock draft prediction. I don't have it for you, Mark. I don't know about you, but I don't have it. I think it's just going to be a free-for-all this go-around.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, the free-for-all, $150 million, five-year deal, Josh Allen, the pass rusher of the Jaguars, any thought on that?
Once again, I don't know what the Jaguars are doing. I think it was a good deal overall. I think it was good for him. He is the cornerstone of the team in that sense, so I think it was good. But I think what the Jaguars really need to do is figure out how you're going to get your QB to the next level. Because I haven't seen the progression I want to see out of the Jags. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think they're going in the right direction, but I just think, you know, if you see the way they're set up, I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence there now. You got the Jones there from New England backing him up. So I think they're for the future, I like what the Jags are doing. Then you sign Josh Allen. I think the Jags are building something there. I mean, you know, the AFC is loaded, but I like what the Jags' position is, don't you?
I think letting Calvin Ridley go was a mistake because I felt like they didn't let that chemistry develop, which was there. So I still look at them and I'm like, I don't know if Lawrence is somebody who is another, and I say Lamar in a different way, so don't everybody say he's not a Lamar. I don't mean it like that. He's another one who has to put it all on his back and then try to force something to happen, and I think that's where the mistakes come. So I don't know if he feels he has the support around him to let things unfold versus forcing things to unfold. And that's kind of where my confusion is with him. So I think letting Calvin Ridley go was a mistake. I know Evan Ingram is down there, and Evan Ingram, I think, has blossomed, and it was a great move for him. I was unhappy to see him go, but I think it was a great move personally for him. But I'm still not seeing enough in the offense and the weapons where they need to be. You know, ATN is one thing, but from a high-powered receiving core, I'm not sure, and I think that's where Lawrence kind of is plateauing a little bit. And once again, I don't know if it's because he feels he has to force something to happen, and that's where the mistakes come, so he's not trusting who's around him. So I think they need to kind of address that, and letting Calvin Ridley go was a great move for them, and I haven't seen enough.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, let me get to some of these comments. Palin coming in from Chelmsford, Mass. Love your show. Follow you religiously. Keep up the good work. Want to know what the New England Patriots are going to do this offseason in the draft, and will we be a contender for a playoff this year? Dalen, I don't think so. I think Brady took him out of the equation. Belichick's taking him now out of the equation. I think it's going to be a rebuild. Get back to the years when Steve Grogan was there and, you know, Mark Van Egan was running the ball or something. I don't know. I don't think the Patriots are going to do anything. I mean, the uniforms are there and they look good and everything, but I don't think New England's going to do anything. Do you, Danielle?
I think the Patriots are going to take some time to rebuild. I think it's going to be a little while, only because part of the problem is Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft can't see he is part of the issue in some respect. He needs to kind of let Mayo do what he needs to do, but I don't think they have enough tools around them to even bring in a quarterback to really do anything. Because I've kind of said this about the Giants too. You know, everybody wants Malik and all these great things. You can't go and get a Corvette if you don't have a driver. It's just going to sit there. It's kind of the same thing with the Patriots. There's just not enough. You know, don't go and get the vet if you don't have the driver. It's just, like I said, same thing. They don't have enough tools yet. I think they need to rebuild, and it's probably going to take them 2 years to where they need to be, only because the AFC is as loaded as it is. If they were in the NFC, it wouldn't take them as long. In the AFC, with the competition they have around them, they're just not there, and they need a culture change, and that's going to take a little bit of time to do. So we have to wait and see. I don't know how they're really going to kind of come back. I don't think Jacoby Brissett is the one to kind of, you know, build it back up. I think he's just more of a bridge for now. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but they kind of have to develop their own, you know, coming from Belichick, that's a lot to wash away. And I'm not saying wash away in a bad thing, like, oh, you got to get rid of everything Belichick. But just to kind of come from that, that's a lot to deal with. So I think it's going to take them a little while before they do that. And I think they would probably be better off trading down and getting as many picks as possible and building that way than using that pick on a star when you're not going to go anywhere. And then it's going to be, oh, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, and putting that pressure on him.
Right. That makes sense. How about the Chargers? Any luck on the Chargers? Albert from Conway said, how about my Chargers? Well, they've cleaned house. I mean, a lot of guys have got, yeah, Eckler's gone. You saw, you know, Gates gone. I mean, they've kind of cleaned house there.
I don't think it's a bad thing, though. I mean, you got Harbaugh. Harbaugh just builds teams. This is what he does. He's a mad scientist. He has a way of just putting the pieces together. I think the Chargers are going to wind up being in a great position. I really do. They're one of the teams I'm really not worried about with a new coach. He just has a way. And he said it before, he likes the O-line. He feels at the end of the day, the O-line is really the key to the game in general. Because the O-line decides how long the defense gets to rest. The O-line is the one that, you know, protects the quarterback and gives the quarterback time to throw and to score. They're really the linchpin in all of this. I think he's going to wind up creating a great O-line, and that's what's going to give Herbert his time to develop. So I think the Chargers are in a really good position.
I think the Rams are in a very good position, if you ask me. The Rams are they're loading up. They picked up the defensive guy from Buffalo. I like the Garoppolo pickup. I don't know what you think about the Rams, but I like the Rams heading into the year.
I think for the Rams, it's going to depend on who steps up leadership-wise, because Aaron Donald was the leader. And when you face the Rams, your issue was facing Donald. Who is going to do that now? What is their identity? Their identity was Aaron Donald. It was not Matthew Stafford. You didn't go in there going, I got to face Stafford. Your thing was, I have to face Aaron Donald. I got to face the beast. Now, what is your identity? So I think this is going to be a turning point for them and how they handle it. So we have to wait and see. For me, the jury's out on the Rams.
Yeah, well, the Cowboys haven't done anything. We've heard about the crickets in Dallas. So I don't think the Cowboys are going to do nothing. They're sitting there figuring out what they're going to do with C.D. Lamb and Dak Prescott and all those guys. I mean, good luck with that one.
I got nothing on the Cowboys. I don't know what's going on there. I think for the first time we're actually seeing a chink in the Jerry Jones armor.
Right.
Where we see that Jerry is maybe, we've all kind of talked about it, but like it's really coming out that maybe Jerry has to step aside and really let things kind of, you know, let the other people do their job. But, you know, Micah's talking about he wants to return kicks and, you know, and all this stuff. And people are, it's just Jerry, get out of the way. Like, let everybody do their job. Stop going on every radio show and talking in circles and all the BS. He's made it clear he does not want to commit to Dak. How do you think that's going to make Dak do? There are some quarterbacks that are like, oh, that lights a fire under me. I'm going to do this. Yeah, well, your O-line is not the O-line that it was last year. Half your team is not the team that it was last year. And last year you were fully loaded and stocked, and that was the team to go to the Super Bowl. Well, if that's not going to happen this year, how are you going to produce? And now you're kind of like already half checked out on your QB. What do you think is going to happen? So, you know, part of this, as much as I want to get down on the Cowboys, I don't think it's all them. I got to look at, you know, the old man in the throne and go, you ain't helping the situation, dude. So I'm not sure what's going to happen down there.
Well, as we wind this thing out, and next week we will be talking about getting closer to the draft. That's going to be interesting. I can't wait to talk more next week. Your show's coming up next week on the novel Beginning Again in Philadelphia, June 6th. Mark it down. The listeners will be following us. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and what else is on your plate, love.
Hi, everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. I do have my next book coming out June 1st, At the Heart of War, Danius and Jaden. It is available for pre-order wherever books are sold. And everybody can just let me know what they think of the draft. I know it's been a big discussion. And, you know, I can't wait for Philly. I'm super, super excited about Philly. And like I said, bringing some New York Giant attitude into Philadelphia, because I'm sure that's what everybody wants to hear. And we'll see what happens from there, Mark. But, yeah, I'm really excited about things.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I am too. And just a nice city and, you know, with you out there and covering the Eagles and everything, a stone's throw. You're a couple weeks away from being in New York, and that should be nice as well. So leaving Charlotte, and boy, the Charlotte excursion has been nice, huh? A couple years in Charlotte?
I've had a good time in Charlotte. Charlotte's been very welcoming. It's been a lot of fun, but at the end of the day, I'm a New York girl at heart, and I'm heading back to New York. So, yes, I'm kind of excited to go back home. And, yeah, I miss the Four Seasons a little bit. As much as I hate the cold, you know, around Christmas, it's always nice to see a little bit of snow.
Yes, I'm
excited to head back home. And I'll be back in the New York area in a couple weeks and, you know, get all the good stuff. And I'll be back close to Giants Stadium and getting my Giants game so Goodell can't stop me from that.
Yes,
and, you know,
exactly.
Back to my
little
Giants
Rockefeller Plaza, Times Square, and everything like that. For the lovely, the great Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, soon to be New York. Here's truly Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. But every week it seems like I get some rain here. It must be the shades of Seattle coming down. We'll be back next week, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern at our regular scheduled time. Make sure you mark that down. Make sure you mark down the novel Beginning at this hour. And also the June 6th, Philadelphia. Danielle Orsino joining Marianne Costello and yours truly, Mark Mancini. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed one. And we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.